In a world of podcasts, one rises in the night to destroy them all. The Elder God in an ocean of noise, the Cthulhu of the airwaves. This is Spoiler Country.
So Comics.1came about a few years ago in my mind when I ran my own Kickstarter, and I found that there was no market for comics after, not no market, but there was no way to discover comics once the crowdfunding run is finished. You know, this was obviously before Global Comics came about and a few others. But there, and we only had Comixology and and Drive Through Comics were pretty much what we had. We know Drive Through Comics for they have been around for a very long time, but they're not the best in terms of like usability and also discovery and things like that. Yeah. And Comixology obviously has always been about bigger players. They've always been about Marvel and DC and
yeah.
Image and
Google, yeah, Image is their indie.
Yeah, yeah, indie. That's as indie as they get.
Yeah, yeah, Image is indie, but not really.
Yes. Also, they have a bunch of indie comics on there. You can go and publish it through KDP and
But yeah, it's a lot easier now. But yeah, but to get discovered, yeah, exactly. Comixology is hard. There's so much. Of all everything else. People go there to read Spider-Man. They're reading Spider-Man. They don't really care about the small guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, I think the other part that I eventually discovered was the earnings that creators get from their comics depletes as soon as the crowdfunding ends. And it's very hard to earn from your existing catalog.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought, even with I know Global Comics is amazing, but their subscription model works really well for the readers, not that well for the creators, right?
Yeah.
If you get 500 views on your comics, you get 65 cents for that?
Not a lot.
Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when you're
doing, so much.
Yeah. And I think all three of us have worked a book, and I have a Kickstarter coming out in September, and Johnny has one coming out. Is it this year or early next year?
It's Q1 next year is when I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah. So the amount of work that goes into producing that book and the amount of money that you put out yourself,
yeah.
I'm easily over $5,000 in. To produce one 24-page issue, and to get 65 cents off of 500 views, it's like, oh, that killed.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it almost feels like, when you're freelancing and you have those clients that give you exposure,
yeah,
that pay you in exposure, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Exposure bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the worst is they don't even push you. They tell you, oh, we're going to exposure, but they don't really do anything to expose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're actually filling a void. So I think Comixology has at this point fallen off the face of Earth, and it's just Amazon, right? So and they're just filling that void because now they have Mad Cave, and I mean, Mad Cave is indie. They're still indie, but they're much bigger than
So. So if people out there listening, they go to comics.one, comix.one. Sarah, you started this on what? Did you have a backing behind you, or did you just I'm going to sit down and start working this out?
It's just me at the moment. I just sat down and started thinking about how I could go about it. The way I thought about it was, we need both the pieces of puzzle. We need both crowdfunding and a marketplace.
Yeah.
They kind of complete each other because if you for example you have a series and you launch the series on, like, you have issues 1 and 2, you want to bring issue 3 to life, you need crowdfunding for that. Mm-hmm. But what about issue 1 and 2? You want to keep selling that, right? So that's why both the parts of the puzzle feed of each other. So yeah, that was just me. I sat down with a bunch of other creators. I thought about it, and I asked them what exactly is the need here, you know, and I basically built everything myself, the whole website. I'm a professional software developer, and I develop web and mobile apps. So, you know, that's really my forte. I also write comics on the side. Sorry?
So right in your wheelhouse, comics and web development.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also figured, like, there's a whole, like, because of people like us, there are a lot of stories that are, like, still yet to be discovered. And, you know, these are really authentic and the kind of stories that a lot of regular people relate to. That's why, you know, like, Kickstarter is booming, crowdfunding is booming.
Yeah.
Going from strength to strength every year. Fun fact, you know, like, they've doubled their comics earnings every year since 2020. So,
wow.
In 2020, they were like...
pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. They were between 12 to 16 million comics a year in 2020. After COVID pandemic hit, they went up to 22 in year one, and then they went up to 44 in year two. So 2022, they finished at $44 million.
That's wow.
That's so good. So cool.
That's insane.
I know. Insane.
That's insane. Well, let's take a look at your website. Do you want to? Should we take a look?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I got two books up there. I've uploaded two of my books there already, and it's got to say the process to get them up there was pretty easy.
Yeah. So let's talk about how what your website offers and how people both one, how does somebody who is wanting to peruse and purchase, and the other one is if you're a creator, how do you get your book up there?
Cool. So at the moment, it's a marketplace where you can come in and sell your comics. And if you're a reader, you can obviously come in and buy comics, read either offline on your own favorite PDF reader, or you can have, that's John's comic right there.
Only normally.
Yep, there it is.
Your top seller.
Beautiful artwork on that one too.
Did you work on that as well, Kermit?
I did not work on that. I mean, I read some things. It's, well, I've, like I said before, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's not for him.
But when I started reading it, and then when I did a write-up for him, it hit me that, do you know the Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah, that's what I felt. But
that's what it reminds me of. It's the Trailer Park Boys. It's, well, it's not the trailer, it's not exactly the same, but it's in that vein. You know,
so yeah, if you're a reader, you can just, for example, if you click on one of these comics, please, so yeah, you can already see a buy button right there if you just below the
here, and then they get a digital copy of the book.
They get a digital copy of the book that they get a link to download, or they have a reader in browser. Once you log in, you can see all your purchases. You can basically read it online on comics.one or download it and read it on your
browser. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, this is cool. Yeah. They can come in and they can get a little bit of information about the creator. And then if you click on that,
creator has a profile as well. Sorry.
No, that's cool. Oh, I think we've talked with Charlie.
Yeah, he's in our group. Here we are promoting Spider Squirrel for him.
Yeah. Charlie's so Zion Studios. And he's the writer, creator, editor. And then creator of Spider Squirrel and Trash Panda, Milestone, and the Universe. That's awesome.
Yeah. If you click on the Zion Studios name at the bottom in the comic description, No, if you go at the bottom,
Narcissus.
under the comics, you see Zion Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, just click on that. You can see the storefront. So he has a storefront.
Oh, so he gets his own storefront.
Yeah, yeah. All the creators get their own storefront. They get their profiles. There are a couple of creators who have brought in their artists and, you know, other collaborators as well. And you can see the entire team on the comic. They have their own profiles. So this is part of a grand scheme. You know, I want to build out things like people can actually follow your favorite creators. You can get updates. You can even do things like you can test pages with people, or you can ask them, do polls and, you know, things like that for your upcoming comics. Yeah, these are the things that are in my mind, but I'm just laying the foundation here. If you see that Grim Reaper, which is the one we added this week, it has a very fun premise, actually. It's weed meets spirits.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it has Ash versus Evil Dead cover as well. So it has a very, like, Evil Dead pulpy kind of feel.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, the entire team's right here. Like, they have a letterer, a colorist, and, you know. Yeah. So you can bring your team, man. This is what I mean when I say, like, when you see the comic, you see who's behind it, you see what are their backgrounds, what they work on. So it adds like a social aspect to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by design. So in future, I want people to be able to follow the creators, and it's not just, and this cuts across several different projects. So if for example, one of the artists works on your books, you know, for example, this artist, say Claudio, works on your book in future, you can see all the Claudio's books under his profile. Oh, it's broken at the moment.
No,
it's taking some time to load.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can pretty much see all the works under his profile, you know. And
yeah, regardless of you. Information to get in touch. If you like his work and you want to hire him, you can email him right away.
Exactly. Yeah.
And his social media is awesome.
Yeah. And for creators at the moment, it's just getting in touch with me by filling that form.
Yeah.
For John, I actually created like a Google Drive just to collect all the information. I'm actually pretty close to doing that, making that like a do-it-yourself thing. So I'll just create a login, and the creator can just go in and fill in all the details themselves.
Who sets the prices?
You set the prices.
No.
I mean, whoever the creator is, set the prices.
And then how does we can edit this out if you're not comfortable talking about this part, it's fine. How do you get paid?
Oh yeah. So no, I'm totally comfortable talking about this part.
Okay. Well, because, you never know. Some people are like, you know, I asked that question to super popular guy. What was his name? Johnny. Remember I asked him about pay and he was like, I don't talk. And it was like from the 1960s.
Oh yeah. I remember
Marv Wolfman.
Yeah, Marv Wolfman. Yep.
Asked Marv Wolfman, how much did you get paid for Dracula? Or no, for, because he like made a he wrote a story. I think it was like Sergeant Rock or something like that, and sent it in to Marvel, right? And then they printed it. And I asked him, how much did you get paid for that? So we're talking like 1963. And he's like, I don't talk about finances. Okay.
50 years ago, man.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I think a lot of old school people, especially the ones who worked on like projects with NDAs and stuff like that, they're not very comfortable talking about money. But yeah, this is for me. Like, we charge 15% as transaction fee, and
that's very reasonable.
Goes directly to the creator. So it's all automated with Stripe. As soon as somebody purchases, within next 1 or 2 days, the money automatically goes into the creator's account and the rest goes into my account. We haven't sold a lot yet, but you know, we are obviously like just 2 or 3 weeks into launch. So just trying to, just building an audience out there. And this obviously will help get the right word. Oh, John, you have 3 books now.
He's Johnny. You're just taking over.
It's a pre-order one. It's not released yet, but it's up there.
Oh, you can do pre-orders?
Nice. Yeah. Or coming soon. Sorry.
Nice. Coming soon. Yeah.
And then if you have your own imprint, I think we already did this. So if you have your own imprint like Zion Studios, then you can get a Zion Studio page. So did you set up Spoilerverse Comics? Johnny?
No, I had set up whiteto.net before we had finalized that. So I have one for whiteto.net, which we can make one for Spoilers Comics now too. I just hadn't done it yet.
Whatever, man.
Whatever.
Yeah. Serb, this is awesome.
This is really awesome.
Yeah, so that's actually from my comic.
This one? Nice. That looks good.
Years ago. Yeah. I've collaborated with an artist from Nigeria. He was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great art.
Yeah. What was the story about? It was, so this was an anthology about monsters and public domain characters. And it was like a monster mashup. Mm-hmm. So I picked up a character from the Golden Age of comics, a princess, and then Godberus and Hades as a crossover.
Nice.
And cool. Her plan is to unleash the underworld on the living, and Godberus and Hades are actually trying to avoid that. So they're actually heroes of the story.
That sounds cool, actually. Is your book on here?
No, unfortunately, I don't have the rights to it. And one of the creator who led the anthology passed away last year, so it's gone forever.
That's unfortunate.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Is Matilda in the public domain?
Yes, I think so.
Because that's the guy that wrote James and the Giant Peach, right? Same author?
Yeah, Roald Dahl.
Yes.
Yeah, Roald Dahl. I never know. I'm always shocked to see what you can use out there. That's an interesting cover. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Like how it has a little demon shadow.
Yeah,
I didn't even see that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I think the pitch of this book is Matilda is the daughter of Satan, and she's in third grade. So she's kind of like an anti-hero. Yeah, her versus forces of evil, and she tries to protect her school from the forces of evil. It's a very interesting book.
Do you read a lot of these? Have you read a lot of these?
I haven't read more some of them, more recent ones like Avalon. I haven't read that yet, but like Robot Sex, I've read through them. I haven't read John's books yet. I have to read those.
They're very weird. I'll tell you that before you read them. They're very odd.
That's all right. That's what like I feel.
Just like smoke a spliff and have a beer, then read them.
Yeah, might help.
You know, just put yourself in the right mindset or watch some Trailer Park Boys and then get in. He's got some, there's some funny parts where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you just wrote that. I think my favorite character is always trying to go fishing.
Yeah, that's Jeffers.
Yeah.
They all have ridiculous names too, so.
we should definitely talk about that because my podcast is all about your work. So. We'll do that another time as well.
Perfect.
But yeah, Sissone is amazing. It's really it's about a vigilante whose superpower is ballet.
Nice.
It's really funny. It just like turns all the superhero tropes on its head.
It's ballet.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I love the cover. Yeah. So yeah,
the cover's
funny.
Great.
You can just see like in the subway and people are like, oh god, not another act in the subway on the train. That's exactly. Hilarious. How many titles do you have on your site now?
Currently they're close to 40, and a lot of these coming soon ones are the ones that are like creators who are in process of updating and adding Stripe to their account, so like they will be active in the next week or two. So yeah, close to 40 now, and we're actively adding more and more every week. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. That what a great concept, and then an actual execution.
I know, I like it.
Yeah, it looks really good, Saurabh. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I hope
I'll be incredibly happy if people come in and buy and, you know, give the creators their due, you know, like that's what it's all about. I feel the creators get their due from this, and they're able to make something good out of the comics they've created, you know.
Have you had enough books on here that you can start to show what makes a successful book on the site, what helps draw people into yet, or are you still too new to really put those type of metrics together?
I feel we're too new at the moment, and we haven't sold enough books to actually determine that. So hopefully people start buying more and more, and hopefully we're able to see what draws people in. But like I have enough statistics to say which books get a lot of views at the moment, not that much in terms of buying. The favorite has been so far Mythfall for some reason. It's a fantasy comic. It has got the most number of views, and Spider Squirrel, obviously. He was actually one of the first persons to actually come on board for comics as well.
Kind of reminds me of old school Voltron.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
It does. It has. I've read this, and it has a mashup of Voltron, Star Trek, a whole lot of concepts from like both of these, you know.
Nice. Is there plans on creating like a preview type, like, you know, if they want to give away the first three pages that you can read the first, you know what I mean? Or whatever page count they want to do.
Yeah, that's literally the next feature I'm building.
Oh, so nice.
A few things to say, like preview and some pages. Also, like some books already have Kickstarter, so they have videos for comics as well, so they can actually post videos on this page somewhere, most likely like a link to YouTube, so a YouTube video will show
yeah the page. Well, yeah, why house the video? That's just extra server space, you don't need to do that. I mean, YouTube, you can do Vimeo or YouTube, there's so many options.
Somebody else put the bill for that.
Exactly.
yeah so let's geek out a little bit, because John and I are both in the tech field. What are you using to build this on? PHP, Ruby on Rails, WordPress?
It's Ruby on Rails. And basically just plain old Ruby on Rails and JavaScript, you know?
Nice. It's really responsive.
Yeah.
It's like full on feels like it's a professional website. I mean, that, you know what I mean? It's not like somebody went to, what is that, like Weebly or whatever, and started, you know what I mean, building it out. I mean, that's what I would do. Because I don't know Ruby on Rails at all. I mean, I know what it is. I know of it. I've tried messing around with it, but it's not my bag, baby. So I'm impressed. I'm always impressed when someone goes, oh, yeah, it's just plain Ruby on Rails. And they're like, just, you know, just rip right through it. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, I still do old school Hello World, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people did ask me to use Bubble, and I was like, yeah, Bubble's nice. I'm not yeah. against it. I think there's it's a problem that if you are a technical person and if you know enough tech, you're never going to get your head around, like, why use no code, you know?
Well, you know, the thing with Ruby on Rails is that it's dependable. It doesn't
It's been break. Around for a long time.
It's been around for a long time, and it takes, this sounds disgusting, but it takes a real big load, you know? It really does. It takes a lot of traffic. Let's put it that way, because I can see John's mind, like, just twirling around because I said big load, but it takes a lot of traffic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's able to handle that. It's able to balance it out better than a lot of them, because I don't know. HTML is so blunt force trauma that it's can
archaic now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's also at the moment it's open source. I don't know what's the future going to be. So if you go down, you can see the link to the source code. There's actually a guy who messaged me last week from Twitter. Like he's actually a Ruby on Rails developer.
Yeah.
From Washington, and he was like, dude, can I come in and contribute? And yeah, by all means, you know, like I can take any help I
get. Yeah, that's awesome. Are you just in GitHub?
Yeah, yep. It's on GitHub.
You know what's weird about GitHub? You know Microsoft owns GitHub, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember when what's the guy that runs Microsoft now? What's his name? Such the nest.
Satya?
Yeah, Satya. That guy, he's a freaking genius. He really is, because he's Ballmer just kind of killed a lot of stuff. And he just like said, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give back to the community. We're going to give back to open source. And now Microsoft gives more to open source than any one company out there.
Yeah.
More than anybody. And then people thought, oh, when they purchase GitHub, people are freaking out. And it's been
survived.
Fun. Yeah. It's survived, and it's still here and it's still working and people contributing to your open source project. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I actually met Satya a few years ago, and he's such a cool dude. Like
I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah. I actually never expected Microsoft to go that way, because I have been, my career has been mostly fighting Microsoft, you know, like one of those. I used to run an agency that used to help companies adopt Linux and Ubuntu and all those open source technologies and stuff back in the day. And Microsoft was the evil giant that we used to fight all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now they're incorporating more and more Linux style coding into their system.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're trying to get away from the registry, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And my thing was, when like back in the 90s, and especially in the first, you know, the first 5 or 6 years of 2000s, I was pretty much a PC guy. Now I don't care. I don't care what I use, PC or Mac or Linux. It doesn't matter, because they all get the job done. But I like, the reason I like PC is because with the registry editor, I can make it do whatever I want it, you know? Where like Mac, I always felt like, oh, you're stuck doing what they want and what they use and what they allow, and you can't do anything. And I just didn't know Linux well enough to be comfortable, you know? But now it's like, you know?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. Smart. They're being smart trying to get that kernel closer and closer to a Linux-based kernel. So,
yeah.
So I noticed this on Lizards by John Holland. Is this because he put in a design that is smaller than what a standard comic book size is?
Yeah, I think also it has some white edges to it. It's actually a scan of so he's actually used the original comic book page and scanned it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and it has some white edges to it.
I'm only pointing them out so people, when they, if you're a creator and you're coming on and you want to get onto comics.one, you know, it's good to make sure, work with or serve to make sure that your book looks as perfect as it can.
Oh yeah.
Cause I think you want to get people's eye, right? You want to catch them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. This
Johns,
is
by the cool. way, is a legend. He's well, one of the first people who joined comics, and
that's awesome.
He's amazing. He's from Louisiana. A lot of his books have like that Cajun flavor as well. You know, like they have things that feature very Louisiana things.
Yeah.
Like Robot Sex is not about sex at all. It's all about robots. And it has some things like jazz funerals and you know, things that you see only there in a dystopian futuristic setting.
So, are you planning on doing any more Kickstarters or any more independent books?
I do. I have a story that I'm working on. It's too early to say what it is. I can give you a brief. It's a very crazy story. So it's actually a prison break story of a prison break kind of story. So these creatures are on a zoo. It's called a cosmic zoo, and it's a planet where it's like a tourist planet, so people go there, you know, to visit as a zoo. And these aliens and a lot of like these creatures have been there for several centuries, and over that time they have developed a way to communicate with each other. And one day there's an intern who joins and they make a mistake.
Yeah.
Because of that, a whole plan sets in motion that they have been planning to, like, a prison break for centuries. And, you know, so this whole series is about how they escape that planet. And it's flipped. Humans are actually the villains, and these alien creatures are the ones who are trying to escape. So they are the protagonists of the story.
Oh, nice. Is it a one shot, or do you have like a series planned?
It's a 3-book series.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Act 1, 2, and 3. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be cool. Are you going to do a Kickstarter? Or are you going to try to do everything through? Sorry, I don't know why my phone's going off. Through Comics One. Comics.
Hopefully through Comics One.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you? So that's good. This is a good conversation, actually. So how do you plan on moving things into comics.one as a fundraising type scenario? How do you get the name out there? How do you get that? How do you actually manage the funds and create that?
My approach has always been to build a community first, and, you know, talking to creators, talking to readers, trying to understand where they're coming from and helping them, being genuinely helpful to them as well.
Yeah.
So that's why actually I started the podcast first, and, you know, started building an audience for the creators who are going to be on the platform as well. Also did things like, you know, started writing reviews and did a newsletter and things like that. So just creating different places where our creators get exposure. I'm able to build a brand for comics.one as well, because obviously brand recognition is what it is all about, right? Like when a reader sees comics.one or sees Kickstarter, right? If they see Kickstarter today, it's trustworthy. If they see there's a project Kickstarter loves, they would just go and back that project, because they know Kickstarter has vetted that project, the creators, and, you know, things like that. So I want comics.one to be that kind of brand where people come in and say, we trust you because you have vetted the creators, you have seen, like, these people are the ones who can deliver a book. This, like, that's a huge problem, you know, right? Like, people,
yeah,
get their campaigns funded and don't deliver books. you remember that big British campaign that happened? The whole fiasco of Tales from the Quarantine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was.
What was that? I do remember, but I don't.
Yeah,
I gotta look it up.
Yeah, I think he's a British guy. He runs a company called Red Cabin Comics, and he did a Kickstarter for charity. Creators actually did not charge anything for their stories. They just paid out of their pocket to all the artists and everyone.
Yeah.
And the guy just disappears with money. You know, like he keeps promising. He's still promising on social media that books exist and they're going to show up to people's doors someday. But like, people have just lost faith because he has been telling that for like several months now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it can still happen. I can't say that it can't happen. You know, it depends on individuals, and if individuals turn that way in the middle of a campaign, who can help them? You know, right. You can only do so much. But right.
But yeah, vetting is important. So that's good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I want comics.one to be that kind of place. So I have actually partnered with a PR firm, and they're slowly starting to put the word out in different publications and, you know, and podcasts like yourself, you know, I'll go out and build a brand and tell people what it's all about. I'm putting my own money at the moment for everything, but I am actually working with a couple of investors to raise some funds for this so that I can work on this full time as my day job, you know, and get this where I want to be in a few months' time. I want to build it out very quick, but yeah, we'll see how we get there.
I got a question. I was watching a YouTube the other day of a guy talking about comics on Kickstarters and how comics are the only product that goes on the Kickstarter at a price and then gets funded and then gets released in the wild and then the price drops, where everybody else is the exact opposite. You get, you know, you offer it at a discount, and then when you make it to the wild, you're selling it for the price that you should sell it for, which is a lot, which is more. I was just wondering this is a question I wanted to ask Johnny too. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because I think that's a weird dichotomy compared to other products.
It is weird. Yeah. It's like, I've always seen it as it's how other creators help each other out. Because everybody wants everyone's story to get out there. So Kickstarter to get it out and get it printed and then sell it for cheaper at cons or on your site and stuff like that. So you can make money off of it or whatever.
Crowdfunding to get it out.
Yeah.
You pay that initial printing.
Right. And I think it's a lot of it is the indie comic creating community is very supportive of other creators, right? Everybody wants everybody to succeed.
Yeah.
So as a community, we've all kind of, without saying it, like, okay, we'll pay a higher price for a Kickstarter so we can get this book printed and then do whatever you want after that, you know, no hard feelings, because we just want everyone to have their ideas and their thoughts as creative minds out there for everybody else to see too.
That's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah. And that's actually like the other point as well. Like, a lot of backers on Kickstarter and crowdfunding are actually other creators and not the people who would, I mean, they would read the books. I read all the books. I back a lot of them, but I still have 100 books that I haven't read. And I've backed on Kickstarter. Pretty much everyone has.
I go through the same thing. I get books and then I'm like, oh yeah, I got to read that. And then it never happens. And then I forget that I even have it. And I'm like, and then I come across, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. Let me put it back on the read pile.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. You know, I actually read a lot of books digitally now off my iPad just because it's just easier, you know, but I still want the physical copy because I love the smell. I love the tactile feel of it. Is there plans on trying to be able to sell physical copies off the site?
Yes. Yes. So that's where we start differentiating with Global Comics altogether. Like
Yeah.
we want to get people to be able to sell their physical copies. One, obviously, if they already have printed copies and they know who like a good printer themselves, which most of the time they do actually. Well, they can actually be able to just print a shipping label and send out the books. So the website will actually enable to them to print a shipping label for the comics, and you know they'll be able to just ship it. The other bit that I'm actually working with, which could be, which I've tested with a few traders, and it I can ask you, John, as well, that if especially for overseas fans, like I want to unlock this whole thing where, because shipping is very expensive nowadays, right? Like if you want to
Oh yeah.
ship to Canada, you pay
It's
$24
$23 to go from
to
Seattle to Vancouver. So
exactly.
much.
It's
Yeah,
just ridiculous.
for a comic book that doesn't even weigh a quarter of a pound. You know, and it costs,
Exactly.
because I priced it out. I got to put everything in, and I was putting $20. I think I got to put like 30 just to make sure that I'm not like losing stuff. I got to take this call, guys. I'll be right back. I'm sorry. This is the third time this place is called.
Yeah, not a problem.
No,
Thank you, John.
worries at all.
But yeah,
But yeah, I.
it's international shipping. You were saying about what you want to do with this.
Yeah, so with international shipping, like if you want to ship to Australia, it's like $26 to ship to Australia from
Yeah.
the United States. And so my plan actually is to work with local printers, be able to. So if you're a creator in the US, you can basically hire, get it printed and shipped from a printer in Australia on demand.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Also, if you want to do volumes, like if you're running a crowdfunding campaign and you have 50 backers in say Canada and 20 in Australia, you
Yeah.
can work with the local printer in Australia and Canada to actually ship your books to your backers locally.
Ooh,
So
that's
there are,
awesome.
yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not really any place that does print on demand and shipment of comics. You like print on demand there, you can get your whenever you want shipped to you, but not shipping to the customers, which is what is really needed, because that would open up the market for a lot of people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Because Australia is a big market actually for
It is.
comics. You get a lot of creators out of there. I try to back a book and their Kickstarter is done, but my bank wouldn't let me do it. It kept saying nope. Nope. And I was like,
Wow.
yeah. So I mean it's a you know, that's a different issue, but at the same time, it's still the shipping, you know, like ship to India. Whew. It's
Yeah,
an arm
exactly.
and a leg.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta ship
So
devices
that's
there
why,
once in a
like,
while.
yeah.
yeah. See, I have contacts in Australia and the US to make it work to start with.
Yeah.
And you know, like there are creators in Australia who want to ship to fans in the US, so
Yeah.
it works both ways.
Yeah. How do you get a
Yeah.
printer at a discounted rate for like if you got 10 books coming to Australia? That's going to cost you, and they're going to 10 different addresses. So you can't bulk ship it. You have to ship them individually.
Yeah,
Then you're
yeah.
talking, you know,
So
that 25, 30 bucks times that by 10, that's $250. But how much is it going to print? How much is it going to cost to print those?
I'm still working out some of the numbers with some printers. So
Yeah.
they did mention that there's normally pre minimums, and you obviously one off demand would be like just literally printing one book would be more expensive than obviously printing, 20 books, right?
Right.
So yeah, I'm still working that out. It's still very early stages.
That's
I have
tough.
like, yeah. And some of the printers do give like reseller discounts as well. So I have like a reseller account that I'm actually doing like a pilot with a company called Maxim. And they basically they're in US, Canada, UK, and Australia, four countries that are like you know, big markets for comics. So they give like an extra 2% discount if you like, if you buy through me.
Yeah.
So whatever, like whatever the, there are like companies that offer like a, like other kinds of discount. If you want to carry our logo, we'll give you an extra 5%. And, you know, like I'm just trying to work out those kind of deals. Like people have options to further discount what they, whatever the price they have from, dude, from if you, these different printers. Yeah.
If you tackle and successfully figure out the logistics of this, that in itself will be huge. You know,
yeah. Can't, yeah, it's still early stages. Like I said, like I have no idea how this will entail.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am working this out with somebody who has really good experience in logistics, and we may figure out a solution to it. We may not. I don't know.
Yeah. But the fact that you're even thinking about it and trying to tackle it, huge.
Yeah. What I asked, did you say Mixam, MIXAM? So you're working with?
Yes, Mixam. Yeah.
They're the ones who printed my Einz Anthology book.
Oh yeah.
They did a good job.
Yeah, I used them for my soft cover and my hard cover, and they both came out great.
Nice.
Yeah.
And they're great, and they were so easy to work with too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good stuff. Well,
there's plenty of ideas. So yeah.
Well, sir, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah,
it's appreciate been it. Awesome. It's been enlightening. Comics, comix.1. I would really, really suggest you guys going out there, checking it out. There's going to be a story for you.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing. When it comes to indie comics, there's always something out there that's going to speak to you. It's not one genre.
They're so limitless. Much.
So go check it out and give Saurabh a chance to grow his website and get more creators in front of you, because it's always fun.
Oh yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much, Karnik and John. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Spaghetti.